The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world is a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Hello once again and welcome to the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we're here with the amazing, wonderful, awesomely awesome Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Ira, I love you, Ira. Thank you for that warm introduction.
Indeed.
Here we are in the midst of summer. What? Tell me.
No. I said indeed.
I love you, Ira. So we're starting off the week on a beautiful sunny day, and so we'll start out with sunny stories. This one I thought was kind of a message to everybody out there to be a little more cognizant of the messages that we give to our children. I've had in correspondence the last couple of weeks, you know, parents that are having difficulties with children and emotional issues, inward struggles within the family unit. So I thought this was a really good story to share. And the title is, "It wasn't until my daughter used my own remarks against me that I actually realized the message I was sending my kids. My world came to a crashing halt." And the lady starts off by saying, "I remember rubbing my belly when I was pregnant, imagining the mom I would be. I wouldn't yell or show any impatience. I would always get down on my daughter's level to find out what is wrong with her. I would always listen to what she has to say, kiss her owies, and hug her when she had tears. I had this vision of being an amazing mom, one who would always be the shining light for her kids. Sometime between being pregnant with my first and having 5 kids, all within 5 years, I definitely lost sight of that perfect mom persona. I was aware that sometimes my responses to my kids were not well thought out, and more of an annoyed reply with little to no emotion behind them. But it wasn't until one day when my daughter used my own remarks against me that I actually realized the message I was sending my kids. We started that Tuesday like any other. Chaotic breakfast, cartoons, and getting changed for the day. I had been dragging my feet all morning on getting the kids out the door for my morning boot class camp at the gym. When I realized we were running late, I went into frenzy mode of making them get ready quicker than they were capable of and was getting frustrated when they weren't doing it fast enough. When one of my twins wasn't able to find their shoes, I muttered well, this is why you need to take better care of your stuff. I then realized my workout shoes were missing. I searched and searched all over the closet, becoming more aware of how much time this was taking and how late we were really going to be. I asked the kids to help me, offering a treat in the end. Whoever finds mommy's shoes first gets a prize. It caused 4 of them to jump up and explore the house for them. But my oldest sat back, looked me in the eyes, and said, looks like you need to take better care of your stuff, huh, Mom? My world came to a crashing halt. Did she just use my own phrase against me? It stopped me in my tracks so hard, the only thing I could do was laugh. She was right after all, but the way she said it was so cold and unsympathetic. In this moment, I realized that my typical way of handling missing shoes was not the best. Maybe I needed to reevaluate my response to this particular situation. Maybe instead of scolding them, I could actually help look for them or suggest they wear a different pair. After our trip to the gym, we were walking up to the front door when I tripped over the front step and scraped my knee. I winced out loud at my new injury, holding it and examining it to see how much damage I did. I said, geez, that really, really hurt. For the second time that day, my oldest daughter turned to me and used my words against me. She said, but are you bleeding? Do you need to go to the hospital? Okay, then get up and stop whining. In an instant, my heart broke. I knew those words. I spoke them every day. She was quite literally saying what I had said to them and do say to them all of the time. How insensitive had I become? These words she said to me stung like 1,000 bees, and I'm a 27-year-old adult. How are those words affecting a bunch of toddlers? For the second time that day, my world stopped on a dime. Wow. I knew the words I was saying, but I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know the weight those words held until they were used on me in the right context. I mean, she nailed it with her timing and delivery. It was exactly what I needed to hear without ever knowing it. It's like we lose our filters in the trenches of motherhood. We get impatient, frustrated, and sick of hearing the same things over and over again. So we say what we're thinking. We forget that we need to distinguish between the thoughts in our head and the thoughts that are appropriate to be spoken aloud to our children. There are tiny humans. They're tiny humans who have huge needs. They're not a fellow friend who can handle these types of dust it off and move on statements. A scrape on the knee is to them an enormous deal in their minds. Yet I was downplaying it because they get scrapes all day long. I was being so mean to them that I never realized it. There's only so many scraped knees I wanted to hear about. But what message am I sending them? By failing to recognize their feelings, I'm teaching them that I don't care about the little things. I'm teaching them that because their problems aren't a big deal to me, they aren't a big deal at all. What does that look like when they're teenagers? Mom doesn't want to hear about their little problems then either. So will they even tell me about their big problems when they arise? Why would they when I was downplaying all of their feelings already? It was the wake-up call that I needed. I want my children to be able to come to me with their problems. Do I wish every scrape and cut were a little less dramatic? Yes, but now I know to take a deep breath, roll my eyes internally, and give their owies the attention that they need and deserve. Thank you, Presley, for opening Mama's eyes and heart to being a more attentive and devoted life in you and your siblings' world. And that was on Love What Matters. It's by Molly Schultz. So that was, I thought, a very, very interesting story and a very, very realistic and new approach to handling her child's,
yeah, absolutely,
her children's issues.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, stories like that, it always reminds me of, you know, the mother's curse, right? You know, I hope that you have kids that are just like you when you grow up, and lo and behold, it invariably ends up that way, right? And sometimes, you know, the yeah. moms will kick back and just, I told you, now you know, now you see,
Yeah. So there you go. That was the Sunny Stories. Positive Phenomenon, I thought, was a really nice one, too. It's very sad, but a good one. How could I be pregnant but with no baby? I heard the devastating words, there's nothing there. My husband and I decided to start trying for our second child in March. We had always wanted our kids to be close in age. 1 month later, April came and I had missed my period. I took a test and there it was, positive. We were excited to take the pregnancy journey once again and have two under the age of two. I decided to call my doctor when I was about 5 weeks so I could get my blood work done. She scheduled an ultrasound for the next week. We were super excited to see our baby on the screen and possibly see the heartbeat. Ultrasound day rolled around and I was nervous. I was nervous for every ultrasound I had with my daughter. Our daughter did an abdominal ultrasound and then I heard the devastating words, there's nothing there. She then told me that I had a blighted ovum. This means there was a sac, but it had no fetus inside of it. The egg was fertilized, but only a gestation was developed. I was in shock. How could I be pregnant but with no baby? My husband and I were upset and confused. She then proceeded to tell me the gestation sac stopped growing at 4 weeks. She told me I needed to take a pill to induce a miscarriage so I could pass everything. She told me to come back in 2 weeks to do a follow-up ultrasound and blood work to make sure everything had passed. The next day, I took the pill and I started to bleed and cramp instantly. This felt like such a sick joke because it happened the weekend of Mother's Day. 2 weeks went by and I went to visit my doctor for the follow-up appointment. I asked if we were doing the ultrasound and blood work, and she proceeded to tell me I didn't need it. She said to me, I just wanted to see how you're doing emotionally. I found this to be very odd. A few weeks went by, and my bleeding had almost stopped, but I knew something was off. My body still felt pregnant, even though I had already been bleeding, and I just felt weird. I decided to call my good friend who works at another OBGYN. I explained to her the circumstance, and they got me an appointment the next day for blood work. I came in and explained to everyone what had happened. They were all confused as to why my doctor never did any follow-up blood work for me. My friend took my blood, and they told me that they would call me the next day with my HCG results. The next day, they told me that I needed to come in right away for an ultrasound because my pregnancy levels came back at 30,000. This is incredibly high for a 4-week blighted ovum. I was shocked, confused, and very scared. They didn't know if there was a twin, a pregnancy located somewhere else, or what it was. I immediately left work and went to the office. I sat in the ultrasound room terrified. I didn't know what to expect or see. She gave me a transvaginal ultrasound, and there it was, a 6-week-old baby. There was unfortunately no heartbeat anymore. I cannot explain in words the devastation I felt in that moment. I was confused how my doctor completely missed our baby on the ultrasound. I called my husband and told him what they found. He was so angry at my doctor, I cried so many tears throughout this whole process. I had one more ultrasound sound done a few days later to confirm no heartbeat. The next day, my body was finally ready to let go and pass our baby. I was so angry, hurt, and confused as to why this happened to us and why our doctor was careless and completely missed our baby on the ultrasound. I researched to see if this had happened to anyone else, and I found a whole website dedicated to misdiagnosed miscarriages. I don't know how I feel about everything. Some days I feel okay. Some days I'm devastated. Some days I feel like it's my fault that I didn't double check And some days it feels like it didn't happen. I see posts from women who would have had the same due dates as us, and I get depressed thinking we would have already known the gender. People think talking about miscarriages and referring to the fetus as an actual baby is taboo, and that's why we're writing this, to let other parents know it does happen to other people and they're not alone. We can be here for one another. I'm here to say our baby existed, and there's not a day that goes by that we don't think about that baby. I'm sharing our story to spread awareness, to always get a second opinion, and to trust your instincts. We want nothing more than to raise awareness, so hopefully we can save other parents from going through what we did. So, positively inspirational, positive phenomenon, not so much in this case, but I thought that it was an important short story to share to let others be aware of, you know, some of the situations that we encounter with miscarriages and how important it is always to get a second opinion in a case like that.
It really is. Absolutely. You know, and I guess this is a good place to put that. When it comes to things like this or really anything in your life, you know, you need to take responsibility yourself and make sure that, you know, what you're being told is something true. And that's like can be the case with everything in our lives, really. But especially when it comes to medical things, you know, how many times over every year? I mean, I think it's like 170,000 people every year die due to medical malpractice, directly due to medical malpractice and stuff. And, you know, that's a really high amount of numbers. And so we have to take our own health in our own responsibility, you know, and if your doctor's telling you, look, you've got this going on, well, you really should get a second person's opinion on it, a second set of eyes on it to make sure that what they're telling you really is the truth.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Seeds of Hope. This one I like. This was really cool. A Florida police officer's act of kindness is going viral after he was seen on video helping a homeless man shave his beard so he could apply for a job at McDonald's. According to a post on the Tallahassee Police Department's Facebook page, a witness captured the deed on camera over the weekend. Kelly Duvall sent in a picture and video to the police department after her daughter filmed an officer shave a homeless man's beard outside of a Circle K gas station on Thomasville Road, CBS affiliate WTSP-TV reports. She explains her daughter went inside the store and encountered Officer Carlson, who was cleaning himself up. She offered to buy him a drink and got talking, she wrote. Apparently, the officer was at McDonald's next door, and this gentleman went in looking for a job. He was told that they would not hire him unless he shaved his beard. So the officer went and got some clippers and shaved the man's beard so that he could go back and get a job. Now, I read several stories on this, and the other story that I had read was that the gentleman who was looking for a job actually had the clippers, but they were malfunctioning, and so the police officer repaired them and then proceeded to shave him. So depending on what article you read, there are some discrepancies there, but the main theme of the story is most definitely the same. She goes on to say that I'm so proud to live in a community where our deputies and officers are such wonderful people. Good job, Tallahassee Police Department, Duvall wrote. The video now has more than 24,000 views on Facebook. Carlson told the Tallahassee Democrat he saw the man named Phil trying to shave his beard, but he didn't have a mirror and was having trouble with a razor. So the officer fixed the razor, there you go, and shaved his thick beard for him. If he's wanting to help himself, I need to be more helpful and try to help him out the best I can, Carlson said. Hopefully from this, Phil will get a job. And on Monday, Phil returned to the McDonald's on Thomasville Road and officially took an application, according to a company spokesperson. Rafael Vasquez, who was the McDonald's owner and operator of this location, told CBS News, "We're always looking to hire those who go the extra mile at my restaurants, and this gentleman has proven himself to be willing to do just that." Vasquez added, "We look forward to having him come on to complete the application process and sit for an interview." So, and also there was a correction. The story has been updated to reflect that the man is in the process of completing the application process, but he had not yet been hired. So what do you think of that one? Isn't that cool?
Well, it is. It's really cool. And I'm glad to see that, you know, people take involvement in other people's lives like that. You know, it's really cool because a lot of people, you know, they look at somebody that's homeless and just, you know, bypass them. They overlook them completely. And even cops a lot of times will do that because they have to deal with the homeless a lot, you know. So They get, you know, very bad attitudes about them in a lot of cases. And in this case, no, I think it's a really good thing. And it's he probably just made a life-changing experience for that guy.
Absolutely. And it just goes to show you yet again, you know, 5 minutes of your time to help a stranger, what a difference it can make in their lives. How many
really
times
can.
Do you hear me say it?
Yeah.
We're all just a ripple in a pond, right?
Yep.
Those crazy kids. I thought this one was really amazing, too. It's about a girl whose name is Paige Hunter. She's 18. She lives in England. She has a part-time retail job working her butt off. And she's earning praise for doing something extraordinary now. Paige actually started writing notes and posting them on a local bridge to help to encourage people to prevent them from committing suicide by jumping off of the bridge. And her notes have very powerful messages. One is, if you end it now, you will be so deeply missed. You matter, you are loved, and people would be worse off if you left. Fight with all you have. Tomorrow is always a better day. You have the power to say, this is not how my story will end. So messages like that is what she's putting on the bridges, and she's encouraging people to, you know, just take a step back and maybe reconsider before they jump. And according to the local police, her notes have actually inspired 6 people to change their minds and not commit suicide. And one of the people that she saved anonymously actually wrote about their story on social media and said, at 6 p.m., I went down to the bridge with every intention of ending my life. To not only find when I get there brightly colored notes, at least 40 on each side. As I was able to climb over, I stopped at a sign that said, be strong because things will get better. It may be stormy now, but it never rains forever. If it wasn't for Paige, I would have been at the bottom of the river and my family would have been broken. So thank you. And she actually received an award from the police department for her good deed. And the police officer said that she thought that she was really an inspiration and really deserved to be promoted for what she had done and received some recognition. So they presented her with a plaque or an award. And then Paige just goes on to say about how she actually herself had been to the bridge many, many times and considered this. And that's what had inspired her to come up with this idea, which I thought was it's just very simple, but the messages there are extremely powerful. And I think it's something that we maybe should institute on any bridge that we have maybe nearby where there have been instances of people that have jumped off to try to commit suicide. What do you think?
Well, I think that's absolutely fantastic that this girl took it upon herself to do that, you know, that she got concerned enough to do something like that. You know, again, how much can one little deed that you do transform somebody's life, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really cool. You know, I think that we should consider that. I know here it's the mall. Around holiday, and it's not even funny, but here around holiday time, there's a huge mall, and there have been stories and actual cases of people who actually, they go to the, you know, like third story of the mall at Christmas time and try to commit suicide. Picture that, will you? I mean, the Christmas rush, people shopping with their families, throngs and throngs of people crowded in every direction, banging into each other. And people are so lost at that period at a holiday time and go there to jump off. Is that not just horrible?
Yeah, unfortunately, during the holidays is when suicide rates do go up quite dramatically. Yeah, it is the truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So maybe even something like that on the guardrails of a local mall, we could consider doing something like that. I think it can't hurt. And if anything else, if there weren't someone considering it when they were walking by just to see those signs, it may make them think, you know, and give them a little bit of inspiration, even if they're having just a tough day.
Right.
Furry heroes. This one's kind of short, but it was cool. Can't say I'm really fond of the dog's name, but in Hutchinson, Kansas, a beware of dog sign sits in the yard of a Hutchinson house, but it may be a little misleading considering the dog is now being hailed a hero. Larry Moore gave his dog a little extra love on Wednesday. He says he wouldn't be alive without the quick thinking of Lucifer, or Lucy, as he calls him. He jumped up in my lap, and woke me up, and I turned around and the house was on fire, Moore recalls. He says he was asleep in his living room chair when the dog alerted him to the fire. His smoke detectors weren't working. I don't think I wouldn't have made it, to be honest, because it just happened so fast, says Moore. He said that just enough time is what he had to grab his two dogs and a few belongings before firefighters arrived. Moore says just about everything inside is damaged or destroyed, but he and his dogs are safe. That's all that matters to me, honestly. I couldn't be happier, he says. We made it out okay. That's the main thing. Firefighters were back on scene on Wednesday, taking an afternoon look at the damage. And, you know, hopefully, they said that the fire was caused by misusing extension cords. And they also stress the importance of making sure your smoke detectors are working and not going back into your house if it is on fire. So we've revisited this type of story with fires a couple of times on our shows. And I do think it's a really important time to remind everyone. I do mine when the time changes occur. So twice a year when I set my clocks ahead or behind, I check my smoke alarm batteries and make sure that everything's running efficiently. And if it's not beeping, personally, I tend to change the batteries out anyway, just as kind of an added precautionary. But please check your smoke alarm detectors. And another thing, too, is dryer vents. If you're running a dryer, please, you know, especially at the beginning of the season in the spring, but periodically throughout the year, check your dryer vents that go to the outside of your house and make sure that they're clear, because a lot of birds will attempt to create nests in those environments, and also squirrels will try to nest sometimes in them, and we may not be aware of that, but I know someone who personally had a house fire and lost everything due to the fact that the dryer vent was plugged. They weren't checking it on a regular basis, and a bird or something nested in there and created a very, very severe loss for this family. So just a reminder.
It's definitely a good reminder, that's for sure. I've never had the experience of a home, you know, of mine catching on fire, although I have been involved in fires before. No, I'm not an arson. But I have been in like wildfires and that kind of thing, and I'll tell you, man, it's a scary experience, that's for sure.
It definitely is. Don't lie to me. I know what you do.
Only in the middle of the night.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to go into Comedy Corner?
Sure, we can do that. I hope that you guys enjoy these. They're really fun. So, yeah. Here you guys go. Enjoy.
The kids got it too easy. That's the problem. Too easy. But I mean two, not the word two, but the number two. Too easy. Because they got that two-parent love. Two-parent love is overrated. I'm sorry to say that. It is. I know it's great to have both parents, but not when you're trying to raise an athlete. My kids are pretty good in basketball, but they never work on their game because they got that two-parent love. They come home, they got air conditioning, heating, cupboard full of food, video games. Like, why don't you guys go outside and work on your game? It's too hot out there, Dad. It's comfortable in here. Meanwhile, that single-parent kid who doesn't know who his father is hates his home life. Mother's always yelling at him. He's always hungry, so he's never at home. Instead, he's at the park working on his game 6 hours a day, and he is going to destroy my kids. This is why I grabbed my kids and told them, this is why I'm leaving your mom. They're crying, why are you leaving us? Because you won't practice. I don't know what else to do. My hands are tied. Maybe if you see me every other weekend, you get your act together. So all they do is want. They want the moons, the stars, they want everything. Want, want, want. Then you get it for them and then just let it rot. they always think like they want stuff. Like my kids came up to me and they said, hey, Dad, we really need a parrot. Oh, a $300 talking bird? I can see why you would need that. However, I'm just not going to give it to you. You got to earn it. So this is what you do. You get all A's each quarter. I give you $25 each for each quarter. That's $200. And then if you do that, I'll kick in the third $100. Now, I'm not going to do that, but I'm just trying to motivate them. It's a non-issue. They didn't get all A's, but they tried. My son one time gets in the car half crying. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
I got two A's and three B's, and now I'm not gonna get a parrot.
And I was like, Brock, study harder.
Subscribe to DriveBar.com.
I'm glad I'm married. I love being married, equally hated being single. I was not good at being single. Hard to meet women when your pickup line includes an apology and a Star Wars quote. And insecure and broke is one thing. Insecure, broke, and single, that's the frosting on the loser cake. I did this one time. This is true when I was single. I'm in the bank. I'm doing the transaction. I ask the teller out. Then I realize I just asked someone out who's looking at a computer view of my financial situation. There is nothing you can say at that very moment. Just, I've got other accounts. There's one I keep negative. My wife is great. My wife's from Texas. I married a Texan. And I remember when I proposed to her, I told her I'm from Hawaii and I sure would love to stay in this country. So. My wife is great. We've been married 16 years. Well, thank you. That's very nice. Yeah. That is very nice of you, but we've been together 23. I have to say that because she wants credit for time served. Married or not, been together a long time, 23 years. And we met in a bar because 23 years ago, pretty much what you had to do. We didn't have your texting and your match.com. You had to be rejected face to face. Then you had to walk away in your Jedi robe. That sucked. No, you do want to dance. These aren't the dorks you're looking for. You're a dork. Years we've been together. I realized last year how long my wife and I have been together. We had a power outage in our neighborhood one night, and we're looking out the window, everything. Street lights out, every house, the whole neighborhood is pitch black, and I hear my wife's voice say this. So, did you pay the bill? No, I made them so mad, they went, you know what, shut the whole town down. I hate that guy. Hey, I realize she's half joking, but that still means half her brain went, you know, it could have been him.
I love that guy.
Yeah, they weren't really heavy, like, you know, they weren't viral hits, but the first guy was Kevin Bowden. And the second, Kermit Appio. I thought they were hysterical.
Absolutely. And I've definitely done the Jedi mind tricks when trying to date.
I know. My dogs are going crazy. It's the energy. We could talk about that for a quick minute. I don't know how much time we have left. We have a lot more content to get through. But we were discussing before we were recording. Could you hear my pings coming across from my text messages as we were recording earlier?
No, they didn't come through.
Okay, good. Yeah, like, so we had full moon last night. We had a lunar eclipse, right? And then we have Mars is like really close to the moon or something. So everybody's just out of their mind. And, you know, doing spiritual warfare, especially, my phone has been off the hook. I am getting pinged. I'm getting texted. I'm getting called. I'm getting Facebook. I'm getting emails. It's just been utterly insane. And the animals are feeling it too. They've just been a little bit antsy and they want to, you know, just go crazy. You know, it just seems like I literally had to shut my phone off yesterday because I couldn't concentrate on what I was doing because it was just rapid fire, you know, ping, 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 ping,
oh, yeah.
ping, ping, ping,
yeah.
ping, ping.
Yeah.
And then you were saying too, you had the same type situation going on, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Inundated.
It has been insane over the past week and it's just kind of been growing. But, you know, the other part of it, too, is at this point in time, we've got 7 planets that are in retrograde. And I think that's definitely impacting people. The only ones that aren't is Venus and Earth itself. So, you know, it's like it's getting a little crazy out there, to say the least.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a really strong period of the month, you know, when we have this type of moon. There's a lot of witchcraft and stuff going on. And so for me, it's just like, you know, people are feeling that and they're like, you know, this went wrong, that went wrong, the next thing went wrong. What's going on? I can't do this anymore. Can you talk to me? Can you pray with me? What can you do? And I'm like, guys, I'm doing the best that I can, but it was like, I'm getting two, you know, when you get 2 and 3 conversations coming in at once. And it's like that story we talked about a couple, probably 6 months ago where I was texting someone and then, you know, my cousin's boyfriend texted in and I told him how pretty his nail polish looked the other day. It's like that. It's like, I can't keep it straight, you know, and I have to shut down and be able to focus. And yeah, just in the course of our recording, 6 pings. I'm like, are you kidding me? We'll get through it. Let's go into, happiness homework. I thought was a good one. This happened to me actually the other day. Let the person who seems rushed at the supermarket or the checkout counter, just take a minute. If you're not yourself in a really frenzied rush, let them go ahead of you. It's not a big deal. It takes literally, you know, 2 seconds if they have a couple of items, you know, bread and milk. You don't know what their situation is. You don't know if they're late for work. You don't know if they, hopefully not the situation, but if they've got their children waiting in the car or something like that. And, you know, they're just, they're rushed, they're stressed. If you see that, take the time out to just let them go ahead of you online. It's literally a minute or two at most if they have a big order. And it will really make a difference in their day, and it'll make you feel good about yourself too. So it's a very easy one this week, but I happened to have it happen the other day and actually earlier in the week now that I think about it, and just allowing that person to get through the line. And they're very... In my experience, anyway, they're very grateful to you for that. They appreciate the fact that you recognize that they're stressed out, they're struggling, they're hurried to get somewhere. I'm not talking about the people that are pushing the old ladies aside in the supermarket to get through because they're rushing to get to a rock concert or something. I'm saying the people that really look like they're stressed out and need to get out of there for an important personal reason. You know, they're nice, seem like nice people, but they're just having a rough day maybe, and maybe they need to go to the bathroom. I mean, that's my case most of the time. But let them go ahead of you. You know, it's a simple thing, and I think it'll make a lot of difference. And like I said, it will make you feel better as well. So what do you think about that one?
I love it. I think it's a good idea, really. I definitely do.
We've all had that, you know, where we're late for a doctor's appointment or something, and we stop to get one thing, and then there's 82 people online, you know. So, really cool recipes. Didn't do an herb this week. I did Castile soap. Castile soap goes back to the Levant, where Aleppo soap makers have made hard soaps based on olive and laurel oil for millennia. It's commonly believed that the Crusaders brought Aleppo soap back to Europe in the 11th century, based on the claim that the earliest soap made in Europe was just after the Crusades. But in fact, the Romans knew about soap in the 1st century CE, and Zosimos of Panopolis described soap and soap making in circa 300 CE. Following the Crusades, production of the soap extended to the whole Mediterranean area. In the 17th century, the soap caused controversy in England, since it supplanted the unnamed local soap after the Spanish Catholic manufacturers purchased the monopoly on soap from the cash-strapped Carolinian government. Its ties to Catholicism caused a public relations campaign to be established featuring washerwomen, showing how much more effective local soaps were than Castile soap. The sale of a monopoly in Protestant England to a Catholic company caused a great uproar, ending with the Castile soap company eventually being stripped of the monopoly. Early soap makers in Europe didn't have easy access to laurel oil, and therefore they dropped it from their formulations, thereby creating an olive oil soap, which is now known as the Castile. So I think it's an amazing soap. For the recipe that I shared this week, for the, it's usually a tincture or something to be used on the body or as a bug spray, what have you. And then the second Sunday of the month being a recipe. I've had a lot of problems with my garden with Japanese beetles this year. So this is a formula that I use, and it's pretty effective. It's just a simple soap spray insecticide. A very similar homemade pesticide to the oil spray is a soap spray, which is also effective for controlling mites, aphids, white flies, beetles, and other hungry little insects. To make a basic soap spray insecticide, all you do is you mix 1.5 teaspoons of a mild liquid soap, like a Castile soap, with 1 quart of water and spray the mixture directly onto the affected surfaces of the plants. I do the undersides as well. A soap spray insecticide works in a similar fashion as an oil spray pesticide and can be applied as necessary, although it is always recommended to not apply it during the very hot, sunny part of the day, but rather in the evenings or early mornings. So it's very, very easy to make. 1.5 teaspoons of a liquid soap with 1 quart of water, and it does work. Another trick that I have, too, if you're inundated with slugs, is I'm not a beer drinker, like, just not my thing, but the neighbors behind me, they like to party. So when they have parties, I tell them to save me, like if somebody's drank a half of a beer or whatever, and they know, they'll put it over the fence for me and leave it there for me. And what I do is I take these little dishes, and I fill them about halfway full of beer and place those around my garden, and the slugs actually go into them and drown. And then I just, you know, take them and throw them out a couple times a week and refill them.
Beer.
So that's enough.
The slugs. The slugs are going beer.
Yeah, because I mean, I live in a harbor town, and we have a college here. We got a huge festival going on this weekend, so all my slugs are alcoholic, I'm sure. But yeah, it works really well. It does, you know.
It does.
And I know it's gross, but salt. If you have just table salt and you put them on the slugs, pour them on the slugs, they explode, which that's kind of a really inhumane way to do it. But you can get rid of them that way, too, if they're crawling up, you know, outside your garden on your deck or whatever.
You can get really twisted with it and leave the old slug carcasses around. If you hang around, this is what's going to happen to you, you know.
It's a warning.
Put them on toothpicks
like
or something.
Old Wild West days when they had the people hanging in the public square.
put them on toothpicks.
Slugs on my windows, on my deck windows. We're going to get in so much trouble for this. You know those liberals are going to be calling.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
This, right?
Okay. Slug lives matter. You know, going with the soap thing, though, you know, one of the things I want to mention with it real quick is a lot of soaps and actually a lot of products, period. They have this ingredient in it called sodium lauryl sulfate. And that ingredient is really actually really bad for some people. It's really bad for me. Like if I have a toothpaste that has sodium lauryl sulfate in it and I use it for like more than 3 days, I start getting like canker sores and that kind of thing in my mouth. It like starts tearing up the lining on my cheeks, right on the inside of the cheeks. It makes like weird, like lesions and that kind of thing. If I use soap that has it for too long of a period of time, I got some Castile soap, not long ago and, started using it. And ever since then, it's been no problem because it doesn't have that sodium lauryl sulfate in it. So my point with this is that
You're using Catholic soap. No, just kidding.
Yeah. Well, my point is that sometimes, you know, people, they have things that are going on with their body and they don't know why. If you're having issues like that, maybe take a look and see if the products that you're using has that sodium lauryl sulfate in it. It's a foaming agent. So it makes it so that, like, products that, you want to have foaminess, like soaps and shampoos and toothpaste and that kind of thing, it makes them foam. But it has reactions with some people out there. And I never discovered it up until about a year ago. And when I discovered it and I started switching things around so that I don't use products that have that in it, ever since then, it's been a non-issue. So it's really weird, you know, but it's one of those things that maybe people are encountering and they're not realizing it. So maybe, you know, do something like getting a Castile soap or something like that doesn't have that in it, and you'll maybe change your body for the better.
That's an excellent, excellent suggestion. And I don't have too much store-bought soap in the house, to be honest with you. I have that. I have Fels Napa for laundry stuff, but primarily I make most of my own soaps. And so I use just essential oils and the basic ingredients, and then I know what I'm putting on my skin because I also have sensitivities that way.
Right.
So yeah. That's an excellent, excellent point to bring up. And, you know, mineral oil, too, it's getting a real bad rap. Did we talk about that a couple weeks ago?
I think we did.
I think we might.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mineral oil also. Stay away from that if at all possible. That's not good for you either. And for years, that's been used in many, many different recipes for soaps and suntan. It's in suntan lotion. I think that's what we were talking about, right? It was the suntan lotion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So good call, Webby. Yeah, that's awesome. Going into way cool affirmations in scripture, I put my energy above and into my spirituality, where I will reside after this, not the everyday material things. And that also in relation to some of the correspondence that I've received with my work the past couple of weeks, it just seems like a lot of us were going into minimalism and getting away from the materialistic side of views. But I don't know about you, Ira, and your encounters recently, but the last couple of weeks, there's been an upsurge again, at least personally speaking with the correspondence that I've received, in the materialism. You know, it's all about the money again, the greed, and I got to make more money, and I have to do this, and I want to buy a new car, and I want to, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And Colossians 3:1-2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And that, again, is King James Version. So, yeah, have you noticed that as well?
I have, yeah. And the amount of narcissistic people having to deal with is exponentially increasing over the past year or so. But especially here over the past few weeks, it's really gotten bad. More people seem to be focused on like acquiring things as their pathway to happiness. And you're not going to find happiness there. You're really not. You might find temporary joy, but the joy is very, very limited, you know. And there's something to be said about the process of want. You know, the process of want is not necessarily a bad thing. It will help you out to make you achieve your goals. But when you have achieved your goals, you still have that kind of addictive feeling of feeling like you want something, but you're not sure what. So you just like keep trying to acquire and acquire because you don't realize you've already been fulfilled.
Absolutely. And I attribute that kind of, it's almost like a sugar addiction. When you're addicted to sugar and you have that chocolate cake and you have that candy, 2 hours later, you're hungry again. So you're craving that sugar high. You're craving that candy bar or that sugary cereal as opposed to maybe, you know, something more natural and more holistic that's better for you. Same type of principle, spiritually speaking, I think. And yeah, I've noticed a huge upswing in that again. And so it's not all about that. You'll get what you need, I guess, is what's really important. And if you focus on just having faith that everything will come to you at the right time and not be focused so much on the physical things, spiritually, you'll be more fulfilled.
Absolutely.
So let's see. Here we go. Hey, I want to dance and jam. I love these guys. Have you heard them?
I have. Yeah, I like these guys a lot.
They're awesome. I love their bluesy feel. They're just amazing.
Well, here you guys go. A little bit of music for you, and enjoy.
Just sitting on your front porch, wondering how could I be so far from my home. And my mind is somewhere else, but when I find it, I'll patch up where it's been blown. Now I'm just floating on the breeze, and I feel I'm falling like these leaves. I must be cornerstone. Oh, but when I reach that ground, I'll share this peace of mind I found. I can feel it in my bones, but it's gonna take a little time for me to set that parking brake and let myself unwind. Shine that light. Damn, they're gone. I guess now they just weren't built to last. Yeah, I'm gonna try to make sense of what I can, of where I'm going.
Go. I like that song a lot. It's really cool. It's a very, very smooth kind of blues.
Yeah, but you can still dance and jam and go pee to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Bishop's Gone, they're from Natchez, Mississippi, and it's rooted in the history and sounds of their home and the surrounding Delta, and features a blend of rock and roll, soul, and blues. The group consists of vocalist Travis McCready, Drew Smithers on guitar, Ben Lewis on bass, and Bern Sharp on drums. In 2017, they appeared on Kid Rock's 8th annual Chillin' the Most Cruise and was voted the best band on the boat by the Chillers. The group went on to do commercial film for Southern Comfort in Clarksdale, Mississippi, and spent their summer touring. In September, Bishop Gunn took the stage at the Pilgrimage Festival in Franklin, Tennessee, alongside artists like Justin Timberlake, and if not a fan, Eddie Vedder, Mavis Staples, and Gary Clark Jr. The band then played laid-back festival dates with J-Mo's Jazz's band, J-A-S-S-S-Z band, Jimmy Vaughn, the Greg Allman Band, and Skinnerd. So there you go. Bishop Gone. I love those guys. Can't get enough of them. Let's see. What else we got left? How much time we got, buddy? I got Maggie's Moments and Things My Dad Says.
About 5 minutes.
Yeah. Why are you killing me?
I'm gonna hold who needs holding, mend what needs mending. Walk what needs walking, though it means an extra mile. Pray what needs praying, say what needs saying, 'cause we're only here for a little while.
Maggie's Moments. So this week I got to spend some time with a developmentally disabled Down syndrome friend, and she's a sweetheart. And we were coloring. She wanted to, well, long story short, she lost both of her parents, and her sister, who's her caregiver, wanted her to spend some time, you know, doing things outside the home, things like that. And so we're doing something together, setting up time several times a week to spend a couple hours and do little projects. And her sister really emphasized the need for her to be more spiritual, because since her parents died, she's feels she's lost her faith and she's got a lot of questions. So I went to this store that I love, and I picked up some Christian coloring books, a Noah's Ark origami set that I could dye to do myself, so score right there, because I love animals, and I just thought it would be a cool project. And we were coloring. And as we were coloring, she's kind of watching my progress, and I was frustrated because I didn't, my house glasses, my reading glasses, were upstairs put away, and I didn't want to leave her alone at the kitchen table coloring, and she's watching my progress, and she's, how you doing over there? And I said, well, you know, I said, I'm getting kind of older. I said, my eyes are changing. I said, I'm not old, but it's kind of frustrating. I can't really see to stay within the lines, things like that sometimes. And she said to me, you don't have to see it. You need to feel it. And she said, what I do is I close my eyes, and she says, I'm not sleeping when I'm doing this. She says, I close my eyes. She wanted to make it known that she wasn't napping when she put her head down on the paper. But she said, I close my eyes and I feel all the different colors. She says, I'm a nature person. So I feel the colors and I can see the swirling of patterns and I can see how I want to blend and mesh the colors together. And just I visualize it in my mind and then I put it on the paper and I'm able to create a beautiful project. So how profound is that? A girl with Down syndrome, higher functioning, yes, I'll give you that. But see it. You need to see it. Don't feel it. I just thought that was an amazing, amazing story. And she made my whole day. And here I'm working with her to try and help her out and the teacher gets schooled, right? I put that on Instagram. I thought that was funny.
Absolutely.
Things my dad says. I'm sorry.
I just said absolutely.
Oh, we're rushing, Ira. That 55-minute rule, you're killing me, dude. You're killing me. Maybe we need to go to 2 hours or something. I don't know. Things my dad says, it's getting there. Again, in conjunction with some of the earlier stories today, keeping along with that thread, my dad, he paces himself. You know, he doesn't get like all stressed out if something doesn't happen the way that it wants to happen. Right now, he's got this really cool project going. He's working on building his own little cabin in the woods. And out of nowhere, every day, you know, he goes out there a couple times a week and works on it a little bit, clears the land. Now they're starting to build. And it's going to be like his retreat of sorts. And actually, I'm going to put one in right next to his here in the next year. But, you know, just taking the time and pacing yourself, not getting overworked. If things don't go according to plan, roll with it. Take your time. Take a breath. Everything will happen in time. Take the steps needed to acquire your goals, but don't freak out if it doesn't happen exactly the way that you would like it to be or in the time frame that you want it to be. If it goes a little longer, it goes a little longer. And you'll give your body less stress that way. It'll help you to just relax and really enjoy the project that you're working on. And that's what he's able to do. He's out there to go out there, hang out, do a little bit of work, enjoy the sunshine, maybe put a lawn chair out, sit for a while, listen to the birds, and then go back at it. So there you go. Things my dad said for the week. I think we're out of time.
Pretty much. Yep.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you again in 2 weeks with another Positude podcast. Next week, my Positude powwow for the month of August, thanks to personal listener requests, we're going to be doing a month of UFOs. So the 2 weeks that we're not doing the Positude podcast, we're going to be doing UFO stories.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you, Ira, for all you do. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great week.
You bet, Maggie. Thank you very much as well. And for everybody out there, make sure you guys stay tuned. Much more coming up. Have fun, and thank you, as always, for listening. Come on, get happy.